Parsha Pinchas 57:63. The title for this one is Kevasim and Camels. I would like to speak about the Carbon Tumid, which is discussed in this week's Parsha. We are presently, shortly after Shavuot to the Talmud, which is a time of Shavuot with Kaveya, among other reasons, because of the fact that Hutala Tumid, when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the Carbon Tumid was stopped on Shavuot to the Talmud. This week's Parsha describes the Carbon Tumid, which involves bringing a Keves, a sheep, as the Carbon Ola once in the morning, as the first of Hodes in the Mikdash, and once in the evening as the last of Hodes in the Mikdash. And I'd like to address the Midrashim that we find in Chazal regarding the Carbon Tumid. We find the Midrash tells us Tzedek Yolanda, the Pasuk says, Tzedek Yolanda, righteousness rests in Yerushalayim. Pasuk says that a person that had come to Yerushalayim in the times of the Mikdash would leave sinless, without any sins. The reason for that is because the Carbon Tumid would provide atonement for their sins. If they were there during the day, then at the end of the day, any sins that they might have sinned, the Carbon Tumid of the afternoon will atone for. If they sinned at night, then in the morning, the Carbon Tumid Shel Shachar would atone for their sins. In this sense, Tzedek Yolanda, if they sleep there overnight, then by the time of the Carbon Tumid in the morning, the sins are atoned for. Just want to point out, the Medrash doesn't refer to every possible sin, because we find in the Gemara, in Zvachim, and other places, Ola is very limited in the atonement that it supplies. It supplies atonement for a transgression that does not involve an action. For example, a transgression of an inaction by not performing a mitzvah, or a transgression in thought, is apparently to such sins that the Medrash is referring. The Medrash, in particular, which is cited by the Sefer Orach in the Erech of Keves, that's interesting, machlokes by Shammai and Beit Hillel, as the method through which atonement is provided by the Carbon Tumid. The Pasuk says, Kvasim, B'nei Shana Tmimim, the Carbon HaTumid, the Tumid sacrifice, involves sheep that are 1 year old, meaning in their first year of life, Tmimim, and without a blemish. Beis Shammai says, why they call Kvasim? Kvasim, the word Kvasim literally means sheep. Beis Shammai says, is alluding to the fact, Shekovshim Adonaseim, Shall Yisrael. They hide the sins of Klal Yisrael. Literally, kosher means press down. They press down, they cover over and press down the sins of Klal Yisrael until later Yom Kippur comes and provides full kapara. They still argue, they said, can't be. That's not a real atonement. Anything that's pressed down is eventually going to pop up again. Why is it called Kvasim? What form of atonement does it provide? The Carbon Tumid provides atonement, Shemechavsin Avonoseim Shel Yisrael, by washing clean the sins of Yisrael, Kesheleg, like snow, white as snow. That's what it means, Kvasim, B'nei Shana Tmimim. What exactly is the machlokes between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai? About what are Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai arguing in this point as far as the form of atonement that's provided by the Carbon Tumid? So, to explain this, let's first understand how the Carbon Tumid provides atonement. So it's written by the Baas, verse 21a tells us, can be seen on Tetei Torah, when a person took a trip to Jerusalem in the times of the Holy Temple, simply watching the Kohanim perform the Holy Avodah, the service in the Temple, would provide such an inspiration to a person who was a sinner, or a person who hasn't yet committed himself to the mitzvot, that it would fill him with Yirat Shamayim, with God-fearingness, watching the Kohanim performing the services, watching the holiness that was apparent through everything that went on over there. What this means is that through watching the temple service, a person would to repent in this manner. This will explain Yerushalmi and the Tosfos cites in Menachos 87. In Yerushalmi and the Medrash says the same thing, tells us that the kvasim, the sheep used for the Korban Tumah, were so great, so tremendous, so gargantuan, that they would put them on top of camels to take them to the place in the Beis HaMikdash, and the feet of the sheep were so long that they would reach the floor, even when they're seated on top of camels. So they're so tall that they could reach up to the cedar trees and eat the leaves. What does this mean? Perhaps the Derech Mashal is an allegory the Medrash might mean by this. What we might mean by this, the same point that the Medrash, which Tosfos cites in Baba Basra, was teaching, that the Korban Tumah can arouse God-fearingness. How is that? The Meshech Chochma, Meir Simchas Vince, explains at the beginning of the Yishlach that the camel symbolizes a mixture between good and bad. You know that the camel has one simen, one sign that is necessary to make an animal kosher, but lacks other signs that make an animal kosher. In this sense, it symbolizes a mixture between good and bad. Good, pure good and pure bad is always better off than a mixture between good and bad. When the world was created such that bad was obviously bad. Good was obviously good. A person had a choice to choose to do good or to do bad. After Adam and Eve sinned, then bad and good became intermingled, such that a person sometimes can't even tell the difference between good and bad, such that even when a person is good, he has something inside of him that still might be dragging him towards the evil, towards sin. In any case, the gomel, the camel, symbolizes that. It's a medrash, that's a Rambam site, which discusses the primordial snake, the nachash, that caused Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, to sin. And it says that it was like a rider. It says that the snake provided a place for the serpent to ride upon it. That's what the Medrash alludes to. The Rambam says that Hashem threw down both the snake and its rider. It doesn't refer to the snake as a snake, it says the camel and its rider. It refers to the snake as a camel. Perhaps this is, says the Meshech Chochma, this is in order to show that the snake, meaning the sin of Adam and Risha, is what mixed in good and bad together. Based on what the Meshech Chochma says, the camel alludes to the mixture between good and bad, that probably is what that Medrash is referring to also. That the source of sin is the snake, which has the attribute of a camel in that sense. The sheep of the Korban Tumah, according to this Medrash, were able to ride above this camel, such that the feet would still be on the ground when seated on a camel, meaning they would purify a person, purify his thoughts, so that he wouldn't have this characteristic of a camel, this mixture between good and bad, but rather he'd be brought back to the state where there would be pure good, which would reign inside of him, and he'd be able to separate the bad and drive it out. That might also be what it means that the sheep were so tall that they could eat from the tops of the arazim, from the tops of the cedar trees, meaning arrogance is what causes the downfall of sinners. Most of sin stems in some measure from arrogance, since if a person is modest, then he'll be embarrassed to sin, he'll realize that Hashem's presence is is filling the entire world, and he will not sin out of his humility. Arrogance is in some measure involved in all of sin. And when it says that the sheep would nibble off of the cedars, it means it would be able to lower a person who is arrogant like a cedar. The cedar is a tall tree, represents arrogance. Also in Rashi tells us that in the parish of Mitzvah and other places. And the kebeth, the sheep of the Korban Tumah, were able to bring down a person that had arrogance that were causing to sin. In any case, the point that I'm bringing out is the Korban Tumah would arouse a person to do tshuva. Now I can approach the machlokas, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and understand the difference between the manner in which Beis Shammai says the Korban Tumah cleanses a person and the way that Beis Hillel says it cleanses a person. What does tshuva do, and how should a person perform tshuva? Well, there's a basic difference between the outlook of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which affects also the way that they see the goal of tshuva. In Chagigah 12a, the Gemara tells us that there is an argument between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai as to which was created first. Was the heaven created first or the earth? Beit Shammai says the heaven was created first, whereas Beit Hillel says the land was created first. When Beit Shammai says the heaven was created first, he means that the main purpose, the main goal of creation is to be heavenly, that the perfection of the heaven is what the goal of man is on this world. We're supposed to attain the perfection of heaven, like the angels. That is what man is supposed to accomplish in his life in this world. Heaven is supposed to come first. That's what the creation is for. They tell us no. Hashem put us into this world with all the earthly desires and lusts, because we're supposed to live this world, experience this world, experience all the lusts and all the desires, and yet serve Hashem through all of that. This means that, according to Beit Shammai, a person is supposed to totally uproot all desire for evil. According to Beit Hillel, it's not necessary. What's necessary is to perform the will of Hashem, despite being part of this world and having the desires of this world. In Rosh Hashanah 17a, there's a machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai as to the punishment of the Beinonim, of a person who is not a perfect tzaddik, a perfectly righteous person, and a person who is not a perfectly unrighteous person, not a wicked person, what will be his punishment in the world to come? Beit Shammai says, if a person is Beinoni, meaning he's not perfectly just, he's not perfectly wicked, he will have to suffer, he'll have to have Yisurim, that'll burn out his wicked trait before he'll merit the world to come. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, Rav Chesed Matzeh Klapei Chesed, Hashem has mercy on those who are Beinonim, and will give them own haba without any punishment of Yisurim, without any affliction in the world to come, out of his mercy. Meaning, Beit Shammai says, a person's not supposed to have any characteristics or traits that pull him towards wickedness in this world, and if he's left with them, he'll have to be punished for it in the world to come. They have to be perfect. Beit Hillel says, no, a person is allowed to have some wicked traits, as long as he's able to overcome them and perform the will of Hashem despite them. That's the chesed of Hashem. Hashem says, despite the fact that you're in this world and you have all these inclinations, you will merit the world to come if you perform the will of Hashem. So, that same argument might be reflected in the argument in Beit Hillel Shammai regarding the Korban Tumis. Beit Shammai says, the Tumis Koshin is the Kavasim Shekoshim of Anasayim Shal Yisrael. It presses down, it defeats the sins of Klal Yisrael. Meaning that what the repentance that the Korban Tumis is supposed to arouse, the repentance in which we totally fight against, to try to defeat whatever evil inclinations we have, whatever desires we have due to being in this world. We're supposed to defeat it, fight against it, and totally press it down, cover it up, that it shouldn't exist. We should try to make it become ignored. They still argue to say that can't be. If a person tries to press down things, it's going to eventually pop back up again, meaning this is inherent in man. Hashem created man such that we have in us these innate desires towards worldliness. Rather, what we're supposed to do is cleanse these things. How do we cleanse the evil, the wickedness? We're supposed to cleanse it by using whatever traits we have for performing the will of Hashem. Even if a person feels a natural tendency to become angry, to become bitter, to try to punish people, he should take it out in the way the Gemara says in Shabbos, by becoming a moel or a shochet. And then through slaughtering or through circumcision, he's able to use his qualities to serve Hashem. And the same with atlas, with laziness, with every other quality, a person should direct it towards the will of Hashem. And when he does that, then it won't bounce back on him. That is the form of tshuva that Beit Hillel says the kvotim of the Korban Tumah are supposed to arouse. As opposed to what Beit Shammai says, the person is supposed to uproot this world from him. Beit Hillel says, no, he's supposed to use this world, use whatever tendencies he has, in order to serve Hashem better. That's called cleansing, like shelag, like snow.